On May 5th of this year, Anna had become depressed that evening and had told her foster parents that she was going to commit suicide. She'd taken a knife from the kitchen and went back to her room, made a few phone calls after going back up and downstairs, and her foster father eventually called 911. And after a brief moment, about five Ventura police officers arrived at the house. Four of them entered the house.
So the police were fully aware of what was going on when they arrived, presumably?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The foster father had called and said that that Anna was suicidal that evening. So they arrived on the scene. They arrived before family emergency services.
The knife you mentioned?
Yes.
Was actually like a small steak knife you'd
found
in
steak knife, right.
Yeah, pretty much in anyone's kitchen.
Yeah. It's something that you'd use just to, you know, carve your meat.
Probably not something that would be threatening to five people who were armed with guns.
Absolutely. I think, even when you read it in print, when you read like a 6-inch blade or a 5-inch blade or an 8-inch blade, whatever they had put in the Ventura County Star, it comes off as something a lot more menacing, but it's really not. And certainly not against that many police officers who were armed.
So the four of them come in, and at some point, there's a fifth officer there who is...
outside. Right. Let's see. Two officers, as far as I know, they entered the front door. Officer Rupp, Kristen Rupp, she entered from the side door, which led into the kitchen. And at some point... Anna had approached the staircase where she saw Officer Rupp and eventually two other officers. So three officers had sort of triangulated Anna at the top of the staircase.
And they had their guns out?
Yes. They ordered her to come down the stairs. First they ordered her to drop the knife.
Okay.
And then to come down the stairs.
I gather the officer that shot her is like something like 20 feet away.
Well, that's the thing. It's a little weird. According to police reports, Kristen Rupp was supposed to be over 20 feet away when she first fired. And then later we heard that the authorities or the Ventura County District Office was saying that she was about 6 feet away. So we're not exactly sure. And it makes it all the more weird because they were saying that Officer Rupp had backed into a wall and she could go no further and that she was forced to shoot.
So the allegation was made that she tried to attack them, and I guess is their justification, because at some point the district attorney's office charges Anna with her assault.
Right.
Which is what? Assault with a deadly weapon.
Right.
Which is under the circumstances... A little hard to justify, no?
Absolutely. I think, from what I can gather, from what we can gather about this, there was definitely no threat that was presented to the officers. I mean, there may have been one that, imagined, possibly, but there was no real threat that was presented. No one from the police department or the Ventura County District's office is saying that Anna presented some type of real danger to the officers, because she did not. It's pretty obvious. What she didn't do, what she may have been guilty of not doing, was stopping immediately when the officer asked her to. But
and as a result, the officer fires
right.
Three times, which also seems a little over the top, I guess.
Right, absolutely.
She's in the hospital, presumably recovering from... I guess she was in pretty serious condition, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, shot three times. I think a lot of people overlook that sometimes and just kind of gloss it over somehow. But I haven't heard of too many people that have been shot once and survived, or shot twice and survived. Definitely not a 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe to paint the picture of what's happening, the Anna herself is very, very small, right? She's 5 feet tall.
A little over 5 feet tall, yeah.
I'm guessing the police in this situation were somewhat larger.
I would hope so. Maybe not that much, but I mean, given the fact that there were at least three of them that confronted her, I don't think that she really posed that much of a problem. And here's the other part. Based on the photograph that I saw of the staircase, of the living room, and of the kitchen, where the two other officers were standing and where Christian Rupp was standing when they confronted Anna, there was really no reason why Officer Rupp needed to fire. And all the other officers, they also had their guns drawn on Anna too. But they didn't fire.
I'm also guessing that none of these people have actually made any public comments about it.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Okay, so she's in the hospital. She spends eight days there, presumably healing.
Right.
And she gets pulled out of the hospital and thrown into a detention facility and charged with assault.
Right.
Or assaulting a police officer.
Right. They what they've said is that they began an internal investigation immediately after the shooting, and that lasted for 8 days. And then after the investigation was over, they weighed their case and they brought charges against Anna. What I think they did also, of course, was they figured out whether they had one first at all, and probably considered a pending civil trial or a civil suit that would have been filed against them. Here's some of the comments coming from them about why they needed to file a felony charge, because they could have, you know, filed a bunch of other things, aggravated assault or just resisting arrest, but they decided to file a felony charge, one, because they shot her, and she'd have to be doing something pretty serious for them to shoot her, and two, just because of the civil trial, I think, out of a concern that one might be filed against the county.
Was that being talked about at the time?
From as far back as I understand, that's always been an issue, or they've talked about it. Someone is either Anna's attorney at the time was being asked about it, or I believe they were asking the Miles Weiss, he's the senior deputy district attorney.
So she has adequate legal representation?
Now she does, right. She did, when I got on board on this campaign, she was still being represented by Steve Sugars and David Brockman, and since then she's gotten new counsel. His name is Paul Lowe.
Well, what can you tell us about what had led Anna to behave this way in the first place? I understand that there's part of her background that could make it easy to understand how somebody could become depressed.
Well, from what I understand, there were several factors, one of them just being apart from her father and her brother, who were in China at the time of the shooting.
But she had been removed from the custody of her parents at some point and placed into foster care?
Yes. This was in November of 2001. She was removed from her father's care for alleged parental neglect. And she was placed in the home of, John and Peggy Sweet, and where she stayed for several months. And then after that, she was eventually moved on over to the Worthleys.
Which was, she was there a very short time.
Yeah, about five days or so. As exactly what she was going through, I'd rather not speculate.
Right.
What I do know is that, you know, she was depressed, like a lot of other teens.
Mm-hmm.
She was just distraught, and I really don't think that it's that uncommon. I was a teenager once. And
you found out sometime down the road after that it's part of a kind of a pattern of behavior with this particular police force?
Yes. With the Ventura, we found out actually just very recently that in the last couple of years, Ventura County has had more officer-assisted, what they're calling police-assisted suicides, than any other county in California. And in fact, the county, especially with Oxnard, they've got more police homicides than a lot of other, in 2001, they had a lot more homicides than, I think, the majority of the U.S.
It's to the point where I gather they were mentioned particularly particularly by a Amnesty International report on police brutality in, I guess, the late 90s.
And by the LA Times. The LA Times conducted different studies on it and found that Ventura, the city of Ventura, or Ventura County in particular, their officers were having problems with, what they considered mentally unstable or emotionally distraught suspects or victims, however you want to look at it. And it's what we found disturbing was that it's definitely a pattern for them, for their officers to get into these situations, to react in that way, but it's definitely a pattern for them afterwards to say that, to kind of brand the victim or suspect as crazy or as mentally unstable, and that's why the officer had to do what he or she had to do.
There's some pretty shocking examples of this kind of behavior by the Ventura County Police, in particular on your website.
Yes.
Some of them are pretty disturbing, and all within a relatively short period of time, and all after that Amnesty International report.
What's amazing is that I live down here. I live about an hour. LA's about an hour and a half away from Ventura, and I've never heard of any of this stuff. I was stunned to hear about this case in particular, but to hear that it's been a pattern of excessive force is surprising.
Why don't you tell us about the campaign that you're involved with now? I understand there's a bunch of different organizations that have got on board, and there are a couple events of significance coming up in the near future.
Okay. We've only been doing this, I think Yellow World got on board on November 3rd, and tomorrow we're having a press conference with Assemblywoman Judy Chu and a few other organizations, including the Asian American Pacific Bar Association. And we're going to be talking about the case and highlighting Ventura County's record of excessive force with these individuals. And definitely just talking about Anna's case and some of the things that she's had to go through. We're also going to be having a press conference on Monday, which is the first day of the trial. Or, not the first, but it's when the trial resumes.
December 16th.
Right. That's Monday the 16th. There have been, motions, and there have been stalled hearings, but it's really going to begin on the 16th, I guess.
You've also got a petition on your website.
Yes, thanks for reminding me. Keep forgetting that.
Where you make a couple demands. Three, would you like to tell us about what those are?
See, the petition that we've got going now, well, we've pretty much been having up since early November. We're just asking that an investigation, an outside investigation, or an independent one, be conducted into this incident. We're also asking that Anna be released immediately. In cases where, they had officers confronted a suicidal or emotional person, I think in a couple of those, the suspects or victims, it just ended up dying. I know that one of the attorneys for Robert Lee Jones, this case was actually very similar to Anna's case.
Okay.
One of the attorneys is going to be there at the press conference tomorrow. Robert Lee Jones is a 23-year-old African-American, and he was also suicidal, and his mother actually called the police because she was afraid he was going to commit suicide. And through some bizarre turn of events, they ended up shooting him too, and he was holding a knife, and he died.
So why don't you tell us, you had a recent success in that one of the members of your... your state legislative assembly has kind of joined with you in this campaign, and I guess we'll be speaking at your press event tomorrow.
Right. Judy Chu's going to be coming out, and I think she should definitely be applauded for taking a stand like that, because, frankly, we've been having some difficulty in getting, widespread support for this case. Because a lot of people are uncomfortable with it. A lot of people are uncomfortable with coming out and saying, hey, I think the police did something wrong here, or I think they may have messed up. And that was pretty surprising to me. I'm not really that familiar with these types of cases, but it's very polarized. And there are a lot of angry people on both sides. In reality, I'd say, you know, we've got a reasonable amount of support. I think people are pulling, but a lot of organizations just aren't able to come out in public and say, we're definitely for this or for that. We've got individuals from these organizations that are helping us out, but unfortunately, their organizations are, and some of them are unwilling to make a public statement. But it's definitely gotten a lot better after the Assemblywoman got on board. That was a big help.
Why don't you tell people where they can sign the petition?
The petition is at http://anna.yellowworld.org.
And that has a lot of background information about what happened.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the process of putting some even more good stuff, some analysis and studies of Ventura County. But that's got the petition there. That's got some background information, what's going on. I'll be putting up some quotes, some interesting quotes from Ventura County police officers and some of the sheriffs out there that seem to indicate that they were trying to move in a direction more towards dealing with emotionally unstable people in a more non-lethal way. It sounded like from a lot of the articles that I was reading recently, they definitely wanted to move towards that direction. I had heard from somebody, and this hasn't been corroborated or anything, but I heard that Kristen Rupp had gone through some type of mental health training or some training to deal with mental health suspects.
Sensitivity training, is that right?
Yeah, some type of training, yeah. I think some of the officers in Ventura County are required now to go through that. But
so there may be a whole question of how effective that is.
Exactly. If this was just something like them going through the motions when they go through the training, or maybe she didn't go through it at all. Not sure, but I think it's pretty disturbing if she did. And then, you know, the first response was to shoot this 14-year-old girl.